Steve Cochran for Brandmeier live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Bill Daley would like to be your next governor, and he is in. He and Governor Quinn are both in, and that's it on the Democrat side. The Republican field continues to grow, but welcome Bill Daley to the program, former Commerce Secretary, Chief Staff of the President. And I'm not sure, Bill, that most people know this is the first time you've ever run for office, which I think is fairly amazing considering your family.
Right. It's the first time I've decided to do it. I've been around, obviously, politics, government. Most of my career, though, has been in the private sector. The two stints you mentioned, serving President Clinton and President Obama, lasted about 5.5, 6 years, something like that total. And so, but most of my career has been in the private sector, and I've enjoyed that.
Was there any reason you didn't run before now? Were you put off by what you saw your dad or your brother go through, or it just wasn't the right time?
No, part of the reason, I looked, it was public. I looked at running for governor once before. My brother was mayor. I couldn't convince him to get out. that was an interesting conversation. But anyway, no, it was just too much for the system to bear, even though the mayor obviously doesn't control Springfield. There was a perception, I think, in talking to a lot of political leaders and a lot of business leaders and others, community leaders, labor people, they just kind of thought, hey, this is a bit too much for the system to carry. And that wasn't alone the reason, but it was a big piece of it. So
I love the idea of the Daley brothers sitting down and going, no, you get out. No, you get out.
It wasn't quite that clear, but it was obvious to me and to Rich that he still had a lot he wanted to try to do. And,
sure.
And, you know, and I was enjoying myself. As I said, it wasn't the only reason, but it was a piece of it because I knew had I run, that would be the dominant issue, especially outside Chicago, where people obviously have at times well-deserved sort of suspicion of Chicago and the politics and dominance it has in the state. And a need to balance that at times.
Let me ask you about that, because Mayor Emanuel, before he became mayor, had a close affiliation with Bruce Rauner, who was one of the Republicans that wants to be governor, and he paid Mayor Emanuel a bunch of money, and I don't have a doubt that Mayor Emanuel, or I should say Rahm Emanuel at that point, earned the money. So I'm not saying there's anything funky going on here.
Sure.
But in a larger point, and you're kind of talking about it here, how close should the governor be to the mayor of Chicago in perception and reality?
I don't know if it's about closeness, you know. I think it's how, as an honest broker, how honest can you be in trying to. One of the challenges, obviously, for me, both in a campaign and if I was so honored to be governor, is to make sure that the people outside of Chicago feel that, you know, I'm not only treating them fairly, I'm to some degree almost bending over backwards to make sure that we all feel part of this. You know, there's been such a focus on Chicago for so long in the political circles. You know, we had, I think, all statewide Democrats for a while there. We're all from Chicago, same zip code.
Sure.
Anyway, and I think it's important. This is a very diverse state, and you could take any issue that the state deals with, especially like the issue of guns, and you've got you go to southern Illinois, you're further south than Louisville, Kentucky. And then you come all the way up into the northern part of the state, and it's a very different feel and issues and culture in many ways and values in some ways. So it's a diverse state, and we've got to get pulled together because we're not doing so well. You know, second highest unemployment in the nation.
Yeah, no, I noticed we've got a couple of issues. You got, and of course, begs the question: why would you want it? You got a nice life going. Why would you want to screw this up? You know.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. I love public service. I like politics. I've been around it my whole life. I think government can accomplish something. And it's frustrating to see a state like this with all the resources kind of just mirrored in dysfunction and a lack of leadership. And I think it's time. And I'm at a stage in life. I've been very lucky. God's been good to me. And I've got a great family. Yeah, I'm at a point in life where, you know, this is important, and a challenge it is, no question about it. And the business of politics today, and to be honest with you, the whole process has gotten pretty nasty, pretty tough. But if people, you know, don't step forward, and that applies to lots of different people who maybe wouldn't pick politics first because of the nastiness of it.
Sure.
If they don't get into it, then you get what you deserve.
Yeah, well,
what shows up at the ballot box.
You get what you deserve, and also you got to get involved with whoever's in, even if you're not involved in deciding who gets in.
Yeah, well, everybody is by voting.
Yeah, well, you got to be involved. You got to let people let her in.
Gore's campaign, and there was a 500 votes in Florida that made the difference of an election, and so it's important.
It's Bill Daley. He wants to be your next governor, and he and Governor Quinn will face off in the primary. We'll get to some of the Republicans later in the week, including State Senator Kirk Dillard tomorrow. Andrea.
And Bill, wanted to ask you some of the biggest problems, obviously, facing the state right now. I know there's a huge laundry list, but pensions probably atop that list, and concealed carry. Wanted to get your thoughts on how you'd address both of those issues.
Look, the pension issue is not something new. We're acting like, you know, it just fell out of the sky, and we realized that it's been around for years, and the politicians keep kicking the can. We had the entire spring. We have one of the longest legislative sessions in the nation, starting January, finish May 30th, and we got nowhere. And the governor had a plan in 2012. That went nowhere. He then endorsed the Senate plan. That went nowhere. Endorsed the House plan. That's gone nowhere. And now we sit. There's this committee that was formed, and I saw today they asked the governor to testify, and he's going to send staff. And there's a meeting tomorrow that nothing will happen. So we sit here with the worst fiscal shape of any state in the nation, and we keep kicking the can.
So how do you fix it?
Well, I believe that of the two bills that the legislature dealt with in the spring, the House bill went the furthest to solve the problem. And if we don't solve the problem now and we keep kicking the can, it just costs taxpayers millions of dollars more every single day. And yes, it's a painful decision. And, you know, is it fair? Probably not to a lot of people. But we're at a point right now that we're dealing with about 3% of the labor force in Illinois who are affected by this issue, when 97% of the working men and women in Illinois are not affected, and they're the ones, though, indirectly affected by the fiscal.
Oh, it's affected by all of it. It trickles down to all of us. But how do you, as one of the most prominent Democrats in the country, sit down with the unions and tell them you got to give more?
Well, you've got a number of House members who voted for the House bill in the same districts the Senate voted against. I don't know what the governor's been doing for the last month, how many members he sat with, tried to convince him. He said he was for the House bill because it went further. If they come up with a solution that's just a political kind of Band-Aid to get out of this political problem they've created, that's worse for the taxpayers and for the citizens, because then we stumble into an election year next year, and then the ending of the possible pullback of a tax increase that was supposed to be temporary, or I read over the weekend that there's some move afoot to extend that tax increase. That'd be crazy without a real plan. But I think the House plan goes furthest, and the governor ought to, because he said he's for it, every day be out there talking to senators, trying to convince senators that that's a better plan because it solves the problem.
Unfair to ask you this with 30 seconds to go, but concealed carry with Quinn, what Quinn's asked for is not unreasonable at all. Don't have a concealed carry weapon in a bar, on a train. Don't have multiple guns on you. But he doesn't seem to be able to sell this as well. Where are you on it?
Instead of selling it right now, I agree in the background checks and the sort of things the governor laid out. I just wish they had been laid out specifically last January or February when the legislature started and build a consensus amongst legislators, but more importantly, amongst the public for this. The public was 90%. Polled showed that 90% of Illinoisans support a background check. But yet we don't have it? How does that happen?
Yeah.
But you don't wait till the legislature fails and then say, well, gee, now do something in 3 days that you didn't fight for 6 months. That doesn't work.
Last question. Lisa Madigan, in, change it at all, or are you in for the duration?
I have no idea what anybody's going to get in. I'm in. I plan to win the nomination in March, and I plan to be the next governor of Illinois with the support of people.
Let's do this again soon.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Bill Daley, and Bill Daley wants to be your next governor, and it makes it very difficult for Governor Quinn because of the prominence not just of the family but of the name, and he's held some pretty lofty positions, and obviously Governor Quinn's got a lot of stuff you can shoot at, but we'll give him a chance to defend himself when he shows up later this week.